morning, and welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is Sunday, July 12th. Our summer worship theme is Beguiled by Beauty, and we continue our focus on awakening to beauty, falling in love with the world. Today is a special day because at the close of the service, we will dedicate the peace pole that's been placed in the Azalea Garden in our upper campus and that was acquired through gifts to our Easter 2020 Flower Fund. Today is also a special day because we have a guest preacher, who is Reverend Kerstin Weidman of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in San Francisco, who also happens to be my wife. Welcome to her, and welcome to all. We will now hear the news of community, and then prepare for worship.
Hello, Hillcrest family. I am Maya Terry and will be your liturgist for this July 12th worship service.
I hope you'll join Virtual Fellowship Hour this Sunday at 11 a.m. Instructions on how to join in the conversation were emailed by Reverend Fred on Saturday, July 11th. Hillcrest Sunday School will take place again this Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. If your child hasn't yet participated, or if you'd like to be added to the Christian Ed mailing list, please contact Allison Keekley Silva for further information. Zoom links are emailed weekly to the families. Please join the conversation as Adult Ed continues to explore the important topic of white privilege. Even if you haven't had a chance to participate, we hope you'll join in next Wednesday, July 15th at 4 p.m. Reverend Fred will send information about how to join through Zoom early next week. If you have any questions about adult ed, please contact Reverend Fred. Reverend Fred will be taking a well-deserved vacation from Thursday, July 16th through Tuesday, July 21st. Allison Keekley Silva will be preaching on Sunday, July 19th, and will be serving as primary pastoral care provider during those days. Mark your calendars, folks. The Hillcrest annual meeting is scheduled for Sunday, August 2nd. It will be held during the 11 a.m. Zoom fellowship hour, and further details will be provided soon via email. Hillcrest office hours are Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. until noon. If you need or want to come by the office for any reason, we strongly advise you to make an appointment with the office ahead of time. Safety protocols will be followed for the protection of yourself and others. Please see the written news of the community emailed to you yesterday by Reverend Fred for more details about safety protocols and for information on how to contact Carolyn Mueller-Reese, Allison Keekley-Silva, or Reverend Fred. And now, let us quiet ourselves and prepare for worship.
Awakening to Beauty, and acting with love is to adopt God's way of seeing and being in the world. Jesus embodies it, and it's evident in God's ongoing creation. As Californians, we know all too well and see for ourselves how a tree that is scorched by fire sends up new shoots and provides for new sprouts to shoot up, all responding to and reaching for the sun. In our cities and towns, cracks in a sidewalk, life-giving imperfections allow for seedlings to break through and make their own life-giving statements. Beauty and love, within and all around, ready and waiting to break through.
Invited to a moment of quiet rest, a time of slowing the pace of your body and mind so that the spirit can settle. The chimes will call us to prayerful meditation.
Divine goodness, Holy Spirit, pause us for this moment. Bear us up in this time. Hold us for eternity. We embrace the brokenness of our lives. We believe you are creating new light that will shine through. We open to your possibilities. We use this silence to draw close to you.
When you're taught and feel you can't get through, uncertainty comes over you, just look around. When your problems seem too much to bear, unsure if there's someone who cares, just look around. Whether stranger, neighbor, family, or friend, on each other in tough times we can depend. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere, though it may seem like forever. Look around, even in our darkest night, things are gonna be alright. We'll get through this together, just look around.
As we enter into the prayers of the people, we look around. We look around, we look up, we look out, and we look in. Bear us up, O God. Open us up to your possibilities for us and for our world, and show us how to embrace the brokenness, the imperfections of our life, so that your light might shine ever stronger in our lives, and so that we might share it with all around. We thank you, O God, for our faith community Hillcrest, and for all of our partners in ministry here in our city and county, and around our nation and world. We thank you for all the ways you awaken us to the beauty all around, and for all the love that we share. And we pray for all who are sick and recovering from illness and injury, including Ariana, Betty, Ron, Webb, and all that we name in our hearts or aloud now. For all who grieve or are suffering loss of any kind, including the Jonkies and our church family, following our time together yesterday over Zoom, celebrating and giving thanks for your child, our brother, father, grandfather, and friend, Martin. For all who are suffering with and from the COVID-19 pandemic in whatever ways, and for all first responders and healthcare providers and frontline workers, for our nation, its leaders, and all of our people, as we come to terms with the realities of the COVID-19 pandemic. For our nation, its leaders, and all of our people, as we come to terms with the realities of systemic racism. For the joy of life together as your children together, for the joy of new life, including great-grandchildren, for the joy of serving you and your people, including the reopening, under safety guidelines, of our Hillcrest Community Food Pantry, for the joy of establishing the Peace Pole on our campus. All we celebrate, all that makes our hearts heavy, we bring to you now, O God, in silence or in what we call out. And we ask that your Holy Spirit be with us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sometimes it can be hard to see. Life is full of possibilities, so look around. Each and every day is such a gift, embracing the life you live and look around. Outstretched arms and many helping hands. Don't give up on all your dreams and all your plans. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere. Though it may seem like forever, look around. For even in our darkest night, things are gonna be alright. We'll get through this together. Just look around.
Hey guys, this week I'd like to do a follow-up from last week's Children's Moment activity. Last week, in our search for beauty, we talked about finding beauty in brokenness. It's not something we typically think of. We don't usually think of broken things as being beautiful. But God can find beauty in anything. And sometimes a new form of beauty will emerge when something is broken, or when a broken thing is repaired. Last week, I asked you to find something broken or something that could be repaired around your house. Do you still have that thing? If you don't, or if you missed last week, you can pause the video now and take a minute to find something. Look at your object. Look at it in its brokenness. What I would like us to do this week is to draw it. Draw it broken. And draw it whole. Think about how you can find beauty in the drawing. I'd like us all to share the drawings that we did in Sunday school, if that's possible. You can pause the video to do the drawing if you'd like. Afterwards, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Let us pray, and I invite all the adults to join in with this prayer as well. God of goodness, thank you for life. Even when things break, help me help you. Repair broken hearts, offering color and love for the beauty of the earth. Amen. With each week's message, we continue to find a way to integrate contemplative practices into our daily lives as a way of opening to the divine. This week, we're asking you to repeat last week's ritual action of taking a moment each day to contemplate your own healing process. Once again, you can journal or take a contemplative moment to fix something you've been putting off for a time. Do this with a prayerful intention. You may want to continue working on the thing that you worked on last week if it wasn't finished, or you may want to start something new. Either way, you could try putting a note in a highly visible place, saying, "Find beauty within the imperfections of life, and accept peacefully the natural cycle of growth and decay. Be reminded to offer grace for imperfections, for the beauty of the earth." We hope that continuing this practice, or perhaps starting it this week, will remind you that you are perfect in God's eyes, even if you can't see your perfection through your own.
Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Festoon me with your finest sayings, God. Teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands, but I don't forget what you have revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherited your book on living, that's mine forever. What a gift, and how happy it makes me. I concentrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have and always will.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let anyone with ears listen. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, God understood. All I had to offer was brokenness and strife, but God made something beautiful of my life.
30-some years ago, while I was in the German equivalent of high school, I and my classmates were required to do a 3-week internship, you know, to get a taste of actual work. The good part about it was we could choose whatever internship site we wanted. Since at that point I was still debating whether I should become a pastor or a diaconal minister or a youth minister or maybe something else altogether, I chose to spend those 3 weeks with a diaconal minister who was doing work with children and youth for a local interdenominational Christian organization. At the end of the 3 weeks, of course, we had to write a report. And I remember one question that we were supposed to answer. Some 30 years later, I still remember it. How did you contribute to your work site's productivity? A wonderful German question, isn't that? And let me tell you, that one was a tough for me to answer. I had been helping with organizing and executing group meetings for children and teens. I had been telling stories about God, and then I had been leading games and playing a lot during those 3 weeks. Had I been productive? How could I rate the efficiency of my work? Other kids could proudly proclaim how many documents they had copied and filed and how many pots of coffee they had brewed in an office setting, how many loaves of bread they had sold at the corner bakery, how many dogs and cats and other critters they had held and comforted at the vet's office. But what about me? I could not give an account on how many of those scores of kids I had encountered turned into faithful followers of Christ. You know, how many souls I had saved. It's very hard to put a number on that. And so as I was answering the question, I wrote as a preamble, some people probably doubt that the work of a spiritual leader is productive. When I got my report back, I saw that my social studies teacher, who had reviewed the report and who, by the way, was a professed atheist, that he wrote in the margin, Sometimes all you can do is plant the seed and hope it will come to fruition. Your impact may be greater than you think. I'm a teacher. I know all about that. You can tell that I still remember this comment 30-some years later. And I remember this teacher, Thomas Jakobskötter, and the impact that he has had on me. He opened my eyes to the fact that the work of so many is not really measurable, but rather based on unwavering hope and idealism that somehow you plant a seed, and hopefully it will sprout and grow. And all you can do is wait patiently for the beauty and the mystery of growth to happen. Which is not the easiest thing in the world where we like to put numbers on everything. Even as church, we know something about that. We feel the pressure to produce numbers, don't we? How many people come to worship on any given Sunday? How many folks are watching our online services? How much money is coming in? A sower went out to sow. Jesus starts the parable in today's gospel with these simple words. His original audience knew what that means. You know, someone is doing their important and essential work in feeding the community as they are going out to sow. Someone is participating in this ancient mystery of growth. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Now, because the sowing, growth, and harvest cycle was such a mystery, there would be many rituals surrounding it, which from times immemorial involved the calling on the divine, you know, to ask for a prosperous harvest. The seed itself was seen as a precious gift of the gods and goddesses, as something that needed to be treated with utmost respect and care. Today, we get seeds for cheap at any hardware store. Monsanto retails them in unimaginable quantities. But in those days, seeds were taken out of the harvested fruit, carefully dried and stored, and then planted. A year with a bad harvest automatically meant less seed for the new harvest cycle. And a few years of bad harvests in a row spelled doom for a community. A sower has the sense of awe for the mysterious growth and entirely acts on hope and faith. That, despite all eventualities like droughts and locusts and floods, the seed will somehow make it and bring fruit. And where would we be without that unwavering hope? As in so many of his parables, Jesus just doesn't state the obvious, but he puts a twist on things. In today's parable, the twist is the obvious carelessness and wastefulness of the sower as they are sowing this precious seed. And as they sowed, we hear, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up, and some fell on rocky ground, and they withered and died in the end, and some fell among the thorns where they were suffocated. And many of Jesus' listeners probably thought, I mean, what a fool, what a sloppy sower, what a waste. Can't they be more careful? But maybe the sower's carelessness hints at the fact that their hope is greater than anything else. That somehow fruit will come out of the seed sown in seemingly unfit places. That may be, if only a few of those seeds survive and grow and bear fruit, if this mysterious miracle happens in unexpected places, it is worth the try. It is even worth the waste. Now, of course, we know Jesus is not just talking about seeds and harvests. His parable is about the Word of God and its powerful potential. How it can transform lives, how it can transform our lives if we only give it enough room to grow. God, the sower, can be careless with this precious seed of the word because God is a God of abundance. There's no need to hold on to this word, to guard it, to use it sparingly. There's more than enough of God's word of love and grace and forgiveness to go around. Even for those who seem to be very unlikely candidates for receiving this precious word. Just think about what Jesus did. He walked around spreading the good news of forgiveness and new life for all, sharing this message with saint and sinner, with friend and foe alike. And as we know, not everyone was open to the news Jesus spread, for various reasons like self-righteousness or fear or certain expectations or complacency. In fact, the whole Jesus movement remained a marginal group for a few centuries after Jesus' death. Few, and then often quite odd and unexpected people, outsiders, listened. And yet those few channeled the power of God in amazing ways and brought plenty of fruit, living according to God's word, living the word. God is not about efficiency and productivity and numbers. God is about the stubborn hope that reaches out to even the oddballs here on earth. Oddballs like you and me, with our pet peeves and weak points and things that trigger us. Oddballs like you and me, with our particular and wonderful gifts, our talents, our love, how imperfect it may be. God is about the abundant grace that is offered to us in our less than perfect circumstances with our less than perfect ways of life. But God, and how awesome and mysterious is that? God doesn't give up on us. God sees to it that some seed falls into our hearts, even though the conditions there may be less than perfect. Now, in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them all I have commanded, the role of the sower effectively is given to us by Jesus. We are being entrusted with the precious word of God. It is now our responsibility to see to it that this word is spread and spoken and lived in all the places where God's grace and care are needed. As today's parable tells us, this is risky business. There is no guarantee the seed we sow will grow. There is no guarantee that we will see our efforts reflected in numbers. However, just like any farmer goes out every year and sows the seed with great hopes that it will grow and bring fruit and nourish a hungry world, in the same way we are to go out with this great and stubborn hope. And you, the people of Hillcrest, do it in so many ways. Through the way you live in church community, through the way you feed and clothe the larger community, through the way you advocate for true justice for all, and oh, isn't that needed, especially now. And I want to cheer you on. Carry on. Be abundant and wonderfully wasteful with how you spread and live the word of God. God's word is not about efficiency. It is not about numbers. It is about being spoken and about being lived out loudly and boldly and abundantly. Who knows what fruit it will bring? God knows. Sometimes all you can do is plant the seed and hope it will come to fruition, that God's beauty and mystery will be experienced in expected and unexpected places. Your impact may be greater than you think. Amen.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the wind to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain. Gifts around us are sent from heaven. We thank you then, O Father, for all things bright and good. The seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer, for all your love imparts, but that which you desire. Sent from heaven above, then thank the Lord for all his love.
As the song says, we'll get through this together with outstretched arms and many helping hands. Our offerings are part of the way that we can bind up the broken and affirm the worth of all. It is in this spirit that we offer our gifts. Please continue to give by sending in pledges or offerings through the mail or giving online at hillcrestucc.org. Your gifts help to continue the vital work of our ministries to care for each other, our community, and the world. And please remember to take care of yourselves and each other. We are church together. We give together as we support one another and support the work of our church. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, draw close to our hearts. Help us see through eyes of hope when we see brokenness in the world, in others, in ourselves. Help us find the resilience of an old oak, to not resist the wind, but to allow it to flow through us, to move us, to become part of us. Help us to know that the quiet always comes no matter what the storm. Help us to sway with the wind and stay for the quiet. Bless our gifts that they may help others know that they are held in your loving light. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Search my heart while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain. Stand by me while I run this race. Stand by by me while I run this race. Stand by me while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Before sharing the blessing and passing the peace, I would like us to dedicate and bless the peace pole here in this place on our upper campus. So first of all, welcome to the upper campus. So far as we know from the Bible, about the first time in our scriptural tradition that anybody set up a peace pole or a pillar, as it's called in the Bible, is in the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob has a dream about a ladder stretching up from where he is on earth up to heaven. On earth, he's in a difficult time and in a difficult place. When he woke from the dream, he did so with a strong sense that God is with him and a strong sense of call about how God would have him live. He wanted to set up a memorial, and so he used what was available. In his case, stone. In our case, wood and plastic. And so he did so. And then he said this, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I will come again in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this pillar shall be God's house." What exactly did Jacob mean about a pillar being the house of God? Who knows? Except that wherever there is peace, there is God. Wherever there is peace, there is God. And notice that Jacob says that God will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear. And so Jesus says that when you give a drink or food or clothing to one in need, you yourself have served God. And so this peace pole stands, this house of God, this place of God stands right here, adjacent to our community food pantry and our clothing room, and along the walkway that gets you there to the food room and clothing room by passing you right by our outdoor chapel, a sacred symbol, a sacred space where the sacred peace of God is known and shared. I want to thank our worship committee for seeing to the Easter flower offering this year, as it does every year, and for dedicating that offering in this very special year, not to the lilies and plants that we love when we're worshiping in our sanctuary, but rather to this azalea garden, to the soil, to the plants. And I want to thank all of you who gave so much to that Easter flower offering that we had money left over to acquire this peace pole and put it right here in our azalea garden on our upper campus. And I want to thank Carolyn McKenzie and Ryan Terry, and I'm sure there are one or two or more others who I'm not naming, and I apologize, who were so instrumental in getting this and setting it right here. Sisters and brothers, let us pray. O God of peace, you call your people in peace to serve one another and to serve all of creation in the ways that make for peace and wholeness for all. So let this peace pole in this place indeed mark a place where you are at home and where those of many languages and creeds and colors are welcome to come together to serve and to be served by you. And now let all of God's people say together, Amen. And now as we receive the blessing, and as I stand beside this peace pole and recall the words and actions of Jacob from deep within our scriptural tradition, let us draw on the ancient words of Moses, who shared this blessing of peace with the people of God. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you and the whole world peace. Amen. And now, let us share the peace of Christ, one with another. I don't know if
you can reach out your hand to this pole now. I hope you can reach toward the computer screen or screen that you're looking at and reach toward the pole, or if from where you're sitting you know the direction of Hillcrest from that place, reach out to our Hillcrest campus and to this pole. And reach your other hand the other way, or wave it around. We mean to hold on to God's peace in our lives as surely as Jacob did. And we mean to share God's peace in and with the world as surely as Jesus did. And so we say, the peace of Christ be with you. And so we respond, and also with you. Our service has ended. For those of you worshiping on Sunday morning, July 12th, 2020, know that we will be gathering at 11 a.m. for a time of fellowship. The information to join that meeting via Zoom has been circulated. If you've not received it or you have any questions about it, please email me right now at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. Go in peace, shelter in peace, experience God's beauty in others, in yourself, in the world, in peace. Amen.